Funerals take on a whole different perspective when you're saved and know heaven's your home. Some of the saddest funerals I've ever been to are the family that has no assurance of ever seeing a loved one again. I remember one up in the country before I came here where I pastored 3 years. And the funeral director said this family at the funeral home was a real problem. And I was, another preacher and myself was doing the funeral. He said, y'all help me all you can. And I'm telling you what, that family, that lost family, mother had died. And they just about took that body out of the casket. They just could not hardly accept it. It's one of the most horrible things I'd ever seen. And then I thought about the scripture says, we sorrow not as others that have no hope. What a difference. What a difference when you have the hope and assurance in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Open your Bibles with the book of Revelation. We're continuing through it. Book of Revelation is going to survive the virus. Amen. And we're getting right about chapter 6. So we have made some progress because 6 is a little deeper in the book than 1, right? And we stayed in 1, 2, and 3 a while as we got through the letters to the 7 churches. And then we found John in chapter 4 caught up to heaven. We believe a type and a picture of the rapture because he heard a voice and a trumpet and he went up. That's what we're waiting on right now. Amen. Only we don't want to wait. We want to be busy while we wait. Amen. I've often said this. You go to a restaurant and you can't do that now, I guess, but we used to go to a restaurant and sit down at a table. And a person came over to see what we wanted. We called him a waiter, right? So the waiter came over. Now, let me ask you what the waiter did when they came over. Did they drag up a chair and sit down and wait with you? No, they took your order, and then they got busy to bring it. They did some work. So while we're waiting on the Lord, we ought to not just drag up a chair and wait. We ought to do what he wants us to do. Amen. Keep serving. Keep serving. And John's caught up to heaven. He saw quite a scene around the throne. He saw the creatures, the beasts, the host around. And he saw the 24 elders who we believe probably represent the church. And then he saw a special book brought out. It was a 7 sealed book. And the cry went out, who is worthy to take the book and open the seals? And John, having an understanding and discernment, began to weep because no man was found worthy to take the book and open it. But then one of the elders said to John, said, don't weep. One's been found worthy. And of course, that one turned out to be the Lamb, but not just a Lamb, but a Lamb as it was slain, chapter 5 says. A Lamb that, had you looked at the picture, you'd seen a Lamb that the high priest had offered on the altar. It had a special way they cut the throat. They claimed the Lamb hardly even knew its throat was cut, and that the blood eased out until the animal lost consciousness. And they did this supposedly with the least amount of pain. I know that would make Peter happy today. Y'all know who Peter is? Not Peter in the Bible. Peter, the animal lovers. I heard a preacher say that he loved animals right next to his beans and potatoes. And I do too. Amen. But he saw a lamb as if it was slain with the blood, I'm sure, still visible. That's what Jesus did. He became worthy by becoming the lamb that was offered, became our sacrifice and our substitute and paid for our sins. And he's the only Savior. He's the only one worthy. So chapter 5 of Revelation tells us the one that was worthy. And it says down in verse 12 of chapter 5, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea and all that are in them heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said, arise. And the four, get my Bible where I'd read it. And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped him that liveth forever and ever. Now, get the setting again. I'm going to have to keep coughing at you a little bit. If it's the corona, I've had it since I can remember, somewhere around 4 years old. So apparently I'm not able to give it away. But sometimes it clears up a little better. My folks that come regular, they just kind of get used to it. Anyway, chapter 6 now, we have the scene continuing. Remember, he takes a seven-sealed book. And we talked to you about what that meant. How that in the Old Testament, oftentimes, the mortgage on a home was written up in a scroll. We still see deeds kind of rolled up sometimes, even today, like that. It's written on the inside, outside, or called the backside. And on the inside, or the backside would probably be the price of the mortgage, what it took to pay it off. But on the inside would be the sad story of how the family had lost the inheritance and lost the home. And in a sense, you and I as sinners, we lost our inheritance. We needed to be bought back. We needed to be redeemed. We needed our mortgage paid off. And that's what the Lamb did. The Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And as we move into chapter 6 now, we see the Lamb who is worthy and has the right began to open the seals. And out of these seven seals, we'll continue deeper into the book of Revelation. Sorry, folks. Get this thing to clear up. The Lamb begins to open the seals. And it says in verse 1, I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, come and see. I thought about this. Often in the book of Revelation, you read about thunder, noise. Thunder gets our attention, don't it? Now, scientifically, they tell us what happens to make it thunder. You do know that, don't you? When the lightning comes, if you're laying it, wake at night and you're hearing the thunder cloud, you hear the thunder, how many of you see the lightning first and then you wait for the thunder to come? You know that's what's going to happen. Well, it does, and sometimes, brother, that clap is so loud, it'll scare you, jump out of your skin, so to speak. It gets your attention. It is true in the Bible, more than one time, God uses thunder. He uses it in the book of Revelation. And there's a lot of testimonies about God using thunder even in our day and time. Sometime God spoke from heaven in the Bible, and some folks thought it thundered. I like it, the baptism of Jesus and so forth. Now, we understand scientifically what makes it thunder. The lightning splits. And the mother used to tell me when I was a little boy, and I'd ask, what makes the thunder? She'd say, the devil's rolling watermelons under his bed. Anybody ever hear that? That don't fit the science book. But it sure fit for me at about 4 years old. I maybe be a little bit scared about things. Amen? But anyway, thunder still gets our attention. There's a lot of stories. They used to say that when some of God's men in the old days, powerful preachers that we read about in history, that God sometimes seemed to emphasize or say amen to their preaching. And George Whitfield, the great evangelist, preacher, he and John Wesley kind of teamed up and some say saved England from the revolution that took over and killed so many in France. They came over here in the days of the colonies and start preaching in Georgia. Whitfield would preach all the way up the East Coast, from Georgia all the way up to Maryland. Up in that area, Boston. And his preaching was really popular with the general masses. Yes, he had his enemies, and he had those that, just like any good preacher will, that would be against him. But they sometimes would send hoodlums out to his place. He'd preach a lot outside. Buildings were not generally big enough to hold anyway, and some of the churches, even back then, were what we'd call liberals today and didn't want to Bible preacher in them. But I remember when I read the story where when Whitfield had preached and wound up on the Boston Green up there where the college was in that day, and how the headmaster of the college came out and said, "Mr. Whitfield," he saw he was going to come out and preach, so to speak, in the parking lot or around the building. He said, "Mr. Whitfield, it's a sad day to see you come." And Mr. Whitfield said, "Yeah, that's what the devil told me too." So stuff like that written about some of the great old preachers. But they say that when Whitfield preached, that sometimes God would say amen with a clap of thunder out of a clear blue sky. That got people's attention because there was no there was no jet breaking the sound barrier back then, you know. So things like that. But the thunder here you read about in the book of Revelation, Psalm. Now it says in this, he's opening the first seal in verse 1. "And I heard as it were the noise of thunder, and one of the four beasts saying, come and see." Now the seven seal book representing our redemption, so to speak, the title deed to the earth that Jesus paid the mortgage off on. And says here, "I saw and behold a white horse. And he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer." Now, it's automatic for us to think that the white horse must be a good guy. But in this case, it's a bad guy. And it's a deceptive person that shows up here. We've got to be on watch for this, because we're living very much in the area right now for this white horse to show up. And he's going to fool a lot of people. I think one of the biggest signs of our day that Jesus has got to come back is the sign of deception that he warned about. He warned about false prophets and false spirits. He warned about this very one that we call the Antichrist, and he will be the Antichrist. Now, you got to remember the word Antichrist also carries with it the meaning counterfeit. Counterfeit. Pretending to be something else, to fool people. And this is the danger that the world's in right now. We're in a time, even over this virus thing and everything else, a big deception. And a lot of folks trying to get us to find a way to make us move the way they want us to move. And the Antichrist is going to be that way. He's going to come in, and I'm going to talk about him, and you've heard me preach through the years about him. Now, I believe we ought to be looking for Jesus Christ to come. I believe he came in this Revelation text all the way back in chapter 4, verse 1. I believe where the rapture is, where John is caught up. Now he's taken the seven seal book. He's begun to open the seals. And the first horse that a rider is identified on a white horse. Now, when I went to the movies, generally the guy that was good rode a white horse and generally had a white hat and didn't kiss the girl. But we liked him. We little kids, we just applaud, you know. And we knew he was going to do one thing when the show was over. He was going to beat the bad guy. The bad always lost. The good always won. Then they started making adult westerns later where the heroes got killed. I didn't like them. But in the early days, the old westerns was based a lot on the good guy riding the white horse. And he'd make the horse rear up, you know, at the end and take his hat off and all that stuff. It was all right if he was a few years old. He said, "I saw and behold a white horse. He that sat on him had a bow." Notice what he had. He's got a bow. I've done a little bow and arrow shooting in my early days, target practice, and even tried to go hunting. The deer always left the country when I went hunting, but anyway. "He that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given him." Now, I want you to notice some words carefully. A crown was given unto him. Didn't say he earned it. It's given to him. "And he went forth conquering and to conquer." This fellow that comes in on a white horse is going to have a bow. Doesn't have any arrows apparently here. It doesn't say so. He has a crown given unto him. And that's why most preachers believe it's talking about a fellow that's coming in on a peace platform. He's going to come in with promises that'll turn out to be real trickery and real false. But he's going to conquer and to conquer. "And when he had opened the second seal, I heard a second beast say, come and see. And they went out another horse that was red, and power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth. We call the second horse, the red horse, the horse of war. The first one, the white horse, speak of royalty, authority, good. He's a mystery man. We can call him Mr. X if we want to. And he's going to fool the whole world to a degree. And it's actually going to seem to work. Now, we read a little more about it as we go through the book of Revelation. We'll read in Revelation chapter 13, this fellow will come in with a number system. And we all are familiar a little bit with the number 666. And by the way, that's showing up in a lot of a lot of ways today. They're talking about more in the news now. They're talking about the chip again. And somebody told me this week that they'd checked on it, and the chip was going to be 60606. That's still 666, because the zero is what? Nothing. Amen. And that the chip that they're working on now, and we've heard talk about Bill Gates and some of the others in the high places saying the answer is to control everybody. And that's what the book of Revelation tells us. You can't buy or sell without it. And so all of this is possible now. People reading this scripture 100 years ago couldn't see how that could be possible, how you could number the whole world. But computers can number the whole world now, all 7+ billion. They can do it. And I may say something about in the message, if I had remembered to this morning, we've got the governor of New York right now and some others talking about monitoring everybody. Now, we understand that some of the prisoners get out and wear an ankle bracelet and all that sort of thing, and that hadn't worked so good. But if you got the chip embedded in your skin, it's going to be a little more than an ankle bracelet. It's going to be the ability to keep up. We know that's existing right now. That is possible right now, and they're talking about it. Something like this virus gives them the excuse to do that. See, people are people, and if you can convince them it's good for their health, they'll probably do it. Or if you convince them that it'll save their life, the fear of death moves them. Really does. Book of Revelation talks about honoring some folks that love their life not unto death. What'd that mean? It means the threat of death could not make them do wrong. They did right in spite of the threat of death. Now, I'll be honest with you folks, that crowd's pretty small today. We like to hear about the martyrs. We like to read about our heroes, but as long as I don't have to be one. That's kind of what human nature is, amen? So this fellow's going to show up. He's going to fool the world. He's going to get a number. You can't buy or sell without it. He comes in with a bow with no arrows, the crown given to him. Sounds like he's voted in. He conquers in that way. And then the second seal tells us about the red horse, and the red horse is war. Now, say, how you know the first horse is not Jesus? So he's going to show up later on a white horse, in chapter 19, and you're going to know who he is when he shows up. The first one's going to be a fake Jesus, an anti-Christ, a counterfeit Christ on the white horse. That's what he's going to be. White horses in history speaks of royalty. I often refer to, remember watching, I'm sure you do, before the Desert Storm War, Saddam Hussein riding his white horse and bragging and firing his rifle in the air. I always thought that was the stupidest thing. But firing his rifle in the air. And it was his pride brought him down. All he'd had to do was admit he didn't have the nuclear weapons, but he was running a charade and playing big shot, and look what it cost him before it was over. Pride still goes before destruction, Scripture says, and a haughty spirit before a fall. So anyway, this Antichrist will show up. It's not Jesus Christ, because war follows him. He brings in a false peace, but it don't last long. If you go back and study a little bit of history, if you read about World War II and read about Hitler and read about England and Will Chamberlain, the ambassador from England that went over and sold out to Hitler, for peace, and peace didn't follow, war followed. And war's going to follow this fellow here. He comes in on a peace platform, but war's going to follow. Economy is going to be involved in it. War on world currency is going to be involved in it. All of that is going to happen. The identification mark, the number, all of that is brought in with the white horse, and the red horse brings in the war and says, there went out another horse that was red, and power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another. And there was given unto him a great sword. Now, the great sword may be a nuclear thing. We don't know. Great sword. Not just a sword, but a great sword. And then kill one another. You know, you read in the Bible a time or two where God intervened in saving Israel. And he caused the enemy to turn on each other. That's quite a phenomenon. But, of course, even in the modern wars that we've had today in knowing a little history, sometime what's called friendly fire kills a lot of folks. It's accidental for sure. Many cases where our planes wound up bombing their own troops more than once and things like that. But turning one on another in the days of Gideon, remember when the Midianites got so scared they turned on each other? That can still happen. And it is predicted in the Bible that some call it the Great War yet to come. Some call it World War III. Pretty well described in the chapters of Ezekiel 36 through 38 there. That's going to happen there. Every man's going to turn his sword against his brother. So anyway, war is going to come. Now where are we at? Let's keep our division right. We're gone if we're saved in chapter 4. We're going to be with John seeing and singing Worthy is the Lamb in chapter 5 around the throne. Chapter 6, we're going to see these things begin to start on earth, and it'll start with the man of sin. He's called many names in the Bible, man of sin, Antichrist, comes to power. A lot of people fooled. A lot of folks are going to be fooled because they got to have an explanation for all the millions that's disappeared. This fellow's going to have the explanation they're going to believe. I've told you those things before. There are still all kind of explanations being given ahead of time to explain the rapture away. I told you years ago I was in a dentist's office reading those big magazines waiting. Remember them old colorful magazines, Life and Look, big ones with beautiful pictures in them. Well, I opened one in the dentist's office right there in Winter Haven, and I'm waiting, you know, and reading and waiting my turn. And it showed this, what we would know now as pictures of planets and the universe and stuff. And it showed this one heavenly body, planet, we'll call it, asteroid, whatever it was, moving close to Earth. And the explanation was millions disappear off of Earth. The explanation was some other heavenly planet's going to come close, and the magnetic pull from that planet is going to be locked in on certain people that have a magnetic magnet, as it were, inside their body, are going to be caught up and gone, disappear. And I thought, boy, you're explaining the rapture best you can. Well, I got news for you. I've got a magnet inside that's attached to Jesus. Amen. But it won't be the way they're explaining it. But they're trying to explain the rapture. Now, I read another thing back in the 70s. They had this thing concerning the New Age movement, and they had some of these gurus, however you say it, that came over from foreign lands, and they drew big crowds over here, all of that, Maharaji and whatever, fell out in Texas. That wasn't nothing but a fat baby boy is all he was. Still had his baby fat on him, sitting around eating candy and watching the videos. And then the thousands have come out to hear him because he was supposed to be all wise. I thought, what a joke. I mean, that's the truth. That was in the news. You can look it up. It was back in the 70s. And one of their explanations was they have all these grand masters up in the universe, these masters of wisdom. like having a council. I remember reading a Captain Marvel comic book that showed these masters up in heaven, you know, and getting Captain Marvel to do their bidding on earth, you know, funny book stuff. Anyway, I was reading the explanation how there are certain people down here that don't fit in, that's causing trouble and keeping peace from coming on the earth. The reason we can't have total earthly peace is fellows like me and you. We know the real peacemaker, and we're not falling for the false peace. But the explanation was that these masters up there were going to have to call us up and reprogram us. They tell our kinfolk down here, they're coming back. We took them away to straighten them out. And now the earth can go ahead and have peace because we've got these misfits out. Really, that was the explanation and all. I mean, some pretty thick books written on it. And the masters of wisdom. And I thought, yeah, I don't fit down here too good anymore. Somebody said to me one time, said, I think you're cracked. I said, yep, Jesus cracked me, and that's where the light got in, amen. And the truth of the matter is, we don't fit after we're saved. This is not our home. We're just passing through. And instead of us being changed, God's going to change this old planet. When he brings us back, it's going to be a big change, all right. But all kind of explanations to explain what the Bible tells is going to happen. And that'll be what the Bible has a name for it. It calls it the Great Delusion. And how a lot of folks that have rejected the gospel and rejected Jesus will believe a strong delusion. And even God will allow them to do it because they've rejected his son. That's in the future, not so far off. Not so far off. We're studying in chapter 6 now. And if you're saved today, you went up in chapter 4, you see in chapter 6 from a different viewpoint. You're looking down, as it were, on earth instead of up to heaven, in the sense that these seals are being opened and things are happening on the earth as the seals are being opened. And so the Lamb is worthy. He's begun to open the seals. The first one is the white horse. The second one is the red horse of war. Now, these four horsemen, and there's five. I'll talk to you about the fifth one, but there's four right here. We'll have time next week, maybe. These four horsemen are very well known and popular in world literature. They're called the four horsemen of the apocalypse. They've made movies about them. And people have written songs about them. Anybody ever hear Ghost Riders in the Sky? Was it Frankie Lane that did that one? I kind of like to hear it, kind of a Western. Ghost Riders in the Sky. Well, that's the Ghost Riders right here in the Bible. These four horsemen is what he was talking about. And I remember hearing that on the radio when I was a kid, Ghost Riders in the Sky. I had no idea that come out of the Bible. There's a lot of stuff we don't understand come out of the Bible, but it does. Amen. All right, I believe my time's up.